Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Echo e-learning page. Don't forget that Echo membership would provide you with unlimited access to a whole range of other educational courses, as well as the entire content of the Echo e-library. Please check this out at www.echo-ibd.eu.
Thank you for choosing this podcast. My name is Antonio López San Román, and I am the director of the IBD clinic at Hospital Ramón y Cajal in Madrid, Spain. Today we are going to talk about a drug that we have always prescribed at some time. I'm talking about corticosteroids. We all know them, we use them, we fear them, and we are probably going to use them in the future. So it's better if we know about the adverse events and how to manage them. Generally speaking, steroids are a good drug to control inflammation in the short term, but they're never a good idea in other contexts. In gastroenterology, we feel it is completely unacceptable to plan long-term therapeutic strategies that involve long-term steroid use in most patients with IBD, and steroid-free remission should always be the direction to follow. Specifically, I would like to point at some situations that are not improved by using steroids. In spite of this, we still see sometimes patients treated this way. Let me mention more specifically first the perianal Crohn's disease. Perianal Crohn's disease is never going to get better with steroids. It's an infection, and what they need is antibiotics, a surgeon, and probably a different therapy, but never steroids. Second, any situation that has been refractory to steroids is a situation in which you should stop them because they're not doing nothing and they can only result in adverse events. Of course, you shouldn't do it briskly, but you should always keep in mind that it is important not to use a drug that is not working. The third situation is intra-abdominal abscess in Crohn's disease, unless, of course, there are symptoms that evoke an associated flare of the disease. If we decide to use steroids, you have to ask yourself four questions before starting. First, are they really indicated? Second, is there a better option that we could consider? Third, what will be the dose and for how long will I prescribe them? And fourth, and most important, what is my exit strategy? It is very easy to prescribe steroids. It takes only a few seconds, but it can take months to take the patient off steroids. So you always have to think of what you're doing next. Once we decide to use them, it is very important to know about their adverse events and how to manage them. We can find adverse events both in the short and in the long term. Short-term adverse events are frequent. Some of the most frequent and troublesome for the patients are those affecting the skin. They are all reversible except striae that may persist for years. Some of them can be very severe, specifically acne, that can even adopt a conglobata presentation. Please don't hesitate in consulting a dermatologist in those cases, because if milder cases of acne can be managed with topical antibiotics, more severe cases require a dermatologic consultation and may benefit of prescribing retinoids. Other adverse events, such as what we call moon face or hirsutism or hair loss, really we can't do anything against them. Only try to stop steroids as soon as possible and reassure the patients. Something that you can observe on short term is a patient that complains of feeling weak. This can have two main reasons. The first one is a low blood potassium, because patients on steroids can develop hypokalemia. What you can do against this is to tell the patients to eat foods that are rich in potassium, such as bananas, tomatoes, and citrix. Other patients will specifically tell you about a sensation of weakness in their muscles. Myopathy can appear on the short term, and in this case, it will affect both proximal and distal muscles, and it will be associated to an elevated serum creatine phosphokinase. Once it settles in, it may take months to resolve. We can also observe glucose intolerance. It is more frequent in overweight patients and also in patients with a family history of diabetes. and it will usually resolve when we stop steroids. Meanwhile, it may need dietary measures or even oral antidiabetics and in some cases insulin therapy. I've always felt that a narrow collaboration with a family physician is very important to control this. It is important also to tell the patient that if they develop glucose intolerance while on steroids, this may be a sign that they are at risk of developing diabetes in the future, and they should try to control situations such as overweight. Other patients will complain of mood disturbances while on steroids, and they have many psychiatric or psychological side effects. Besides mood instability, you can find also anxiety. Some patients get depressed, and conversely, other patients get hypomaniac. Many of them will talk about insomnia, and fortunately, psychosis is rare, although it can be more frequent in patients who have a history of psychotic activity in the past. Let's finish with elevated blood pressure that can be observed in some patients, of course, more in those who already had it or are overweight, and it can be initially managed by a diet with a low salt content, but sometimes need prescription of specific drugs. Also, hypertension can develop not in the systemic circuit, but as intracranial hypertension. This will appear as very severe headaches in patients and warrants an immediate neurology consultation. Regarding the long-term effects of steroid therapy, hopefully we should never watch them because we don't want to give steroids in the long term. But nevertheless, it's important to know about them because we may sometimes observe them and we must know how to prevent them. All the problems that we mentioned regarding skin in the short-term administration of steroids can persist and even get more severe. In general, the patient can have a very peculiar appearance with muscular wasting and skin changes that is very distressing for them. The myopathy that we observe in long-term therapy is more specifically affecting proximal muscles and does not elevate CK and may also last months and may take months to resolve. Patients must be aware of this and you have to support them emotionally because it can be really distressful. Some clinicians choose to prescribe protein pump inhibitors together with steroids in the belief that they are preventing steroid-induced ulcer. In fact, meta-analysis shows that this is not real and that steroids only will produce ulcer if they're accompanied by anti-inflammatory drugs. So in a normal patient that is only on steroids, you don't need to use PPIs that could result in their own set of adverse events such as Clostridium difficile infection. It is very well known by all clinicians using steroids in the long term that they can affect the bones and patients can develop osteopenia or osteoporosis. This can happen in the short term. Already after a couple of weeks of steroid use, you will find bone destruction. It is important to consider prescribing calcium and vitamin D supplements in patients when you prescribe steroids, even if you think that they are only going to use them for a few weeks, because you never know. The eyes can be affected in the patient on long-term steroids. Some patients go on to develop cataracts and need an operation in the future. It is probably more severe, the development of glaucoma. Any patient that is on long-term steroids should be referred to the ophthalmologist because once it settles in, glaucoma can be very disabling and difficult to control. In children, steroids can result in growth retardation and a suppression of sexual maturation, and this will happen mainly in children in their early teens. This is why we should avoid, if possible, these drugs at that age. And it is very important to design strategies to avoid steroid exposure in children. Other Long-term adverse events of steroids is the production of dyslipidemia, and a high blood cholesterol can be observed that can be managed jointly with a family physician, as usually in other patients. Finally, as we all know, when a patient is on long-term steroids, they will have an underlying adrenal insufficiency, and it is sometimes difficult to fight this when you're weaning the patient off steroids. Do not hesitate consulting an endocrinologist, because patients will need a very, very slow weaning off and sometimes the prescription of mineralocorticoids. Also, tell the patient not to interrupt steroids briskly, because this can lead to hospital admission and, in the worst cases, even in death. Thank you again for choosing this podcast. So, please remember, do not hesitate using steroids if they are really needed and you don't have a better option, but always use them in the short term and always have an exit plan.